That's a lot of pressure, though, as a hairstylist sometimes.
Unless you've been doing their hair for 7 years.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, seriously, you'd just be giving her a mullet.
But I said yes. Crazy. We always have to keep passion for what we do in some way, shape, or form.
Yo. What's happening, dude?
What's going on, brother?
Feels good to be back.
Happy 2023.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. So I looked it up. It was October.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's been that long. So
we'll call it a sabbatical.
Yeah. You know, fourth quarter in the salon. That's all I can say, really.
Right. Yeah. Good problems.
It's so busy. So great holidays, though. It was, I don't know, it was fun, you know? So it's good to be back, though.
Yeah, it does feel good to be back.
Yeah, so this time we're actually doing a little bit of video recording on this one, too. I don't know if we're going to post this one or not, but it's kind of nice to mess around with it. It looks like a legit setup. We've got professional lighting and everything. It kind of feels crazy.
It's fancy.
Yeah, it's pretty fancy.
I feel like it's far fancier than we deserve.
You know, I kind of feel like I was like, what am I wearing?
Right.
Should I put something else on? Should I do my hair?
I actually thought about that for half a second on the way here.
Oh, I bet.
I was like, I've got the old Goodwill corduroy hat on.
Oh, but it's perfect, though. That's great.
I'm like, whatever, it works.
Yeah. No, it looks good. I was wearing a hat, but I remember the very first episode we recorded, and there's like a picture of us like doing the peace sign or whatever. And I think I had my hat on for that one. And I remember that I just didn't like the way the headphones felt with the hat on. So I was like, I got to get a new hat. So
I think, and for me, the over the ear headphones doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I may be more comfortable with the hat on. Feels secure, holds headphones in place.
It's probably, a difference of what hat you're wearing too. You know what I mean? So, anyway, it is middle of January basically already. How crazy is that? Like, I feel like I just blinked and now it's literally the middle of January.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of how life works though. Like it's like, as we go on in years, time speeds up.
It totally does.
There has to be something to that.
I think that there's like really some sort of like legitimate explanation to why that happens. Like it's a real thing. So your perception of time, it definitely changes quite a bit.
I mean, that would make sense. I mean, if we're constantly hurling through space, maybe we're gaining a second a year or something like that.
Something crazy.
Like I'm just talking out of my ass as well. We need Neil
deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Where are you at, man?
So, this month, not for you, but it's dry January for my wife and I, and I wouldn't say we do it every year, but we've done it a bunch of years. Like at least half the years we've been together, I think we've done it. So, so it's great. And like my explanation of dry January actually is more that like, I kind of was so sick of drinking alcohol in the month of December that like, I just want to stop and like, I want to sit and read a book after work or go exercise. And I don't want to be social anymore.
I mean, I can understand that completely from Thanksgiving through New Year's. It's alcohol consumption has to be,
It's crazy.
It's like 3 months worth in a month.
Yeah. No,
it's nuts.
I was hanging out with my buddy today and he was like, you wouldn't believe it, but we spent $600 on alcohol in December. And I was like, oh no, I fully believe that.
I believe that.
I believe that. Cause I mean, he and I both like we have social lives and our wives invite people over all the time and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So it's like, oh my God.
And we live in Beer City.
We live in Beer City, USA. Yeah. We really
do. So it's just like that.
Yeah.
So, and to do dry January is a cool way to start the year though. I'm not doing that, but drinking less.
Yeah.
For sure. Not much during the week. Actually,
rather just
zero.
A moist January.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like that's the thing right now. I mean, honestly, that's like the term right now is moist January.
Moist January. I love that word.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah. It's the best word.
I had a client that came in the other day and he's a good friend and he was on board to do dry January and he showed up like after having lunch with some friends and he had already had like two glasses of wine. He's like, fucked. Yeah. No, I'm doing dry January. I'm just not doing it today.
Not today.
Yeah.
I had a client tonight that said she tried to do dry January. And, but she had a glass of wine. She said, we're calling it triuary. And I was like, okay, whatever works for you.
Yeah. That's funny. So,
but it's also a 31 day month.
Yeah.
It's a long month. You know, like I feel like, dry February, you take the shortest month of the year. It's a little cheat job.
That's a good point. I'm actually, to be honest with you, and I don't think this is going to be 100% dry January, February for me. I think there might be a little bit of, like, I don't know. For me, it's not that big of a deal. Like, if I have a glass of wine one night because we go out or whatever.
Yeah, you're not going to fall off the wagon.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm not drinking at home or anything like that. But next month, I'm trying to make it to the middle of the month because, like, I want to go snowboard and, like, I want to get to that point and, like, feel like my body is, like, 100%.
Yeah, and it's just like resetting habits.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's just like it could be such a habit after where you just crack a beer or whatever. Oh,
it's ridiculous. You know? Yeah.
Breaking the muscle memory is a great thing on its own.
If you're anything like me, like, I mean, if you're a hairstylist listening to this, you can totally, I know you can relate. When I get off work, I want silence, you know, oh, yes. Like I don't want anybody to talk to me for a little while. So like, I really do enjoy like going across the street to the brewery and sitting in the corner where nobody sees me. I don't talk to anybody and I just drink my beer and I just sit there by myself,
right. You know, proper decompress.
That's my decompression. And it only really takes me 15 to 30 minutes, you know? And like, but that is a habit though. That becomes habitual. And, so anyway, haven't done that in a while, but, so I feel good. So anyway, that leads us kind of to what we're drinking tonight.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny though, is like a week or two ago, somebody was saying you're doing dry January. And I was like, yeah, except for the podcast.
Right. Yeah. You put that asterisk in there.
Yeah. But then we decided we were going to do, you know, dry podcast and we've got some beer though.
Well, it's called just, the Moist Podcast.
Yeah, the Moist Podcast.
We're less than 0.5% alcohol podcast.
It's okay. So what is this?
So this, I guess the brewery is called Untitled Art. It's out of Wisconsin. I looked that up, which is
Wanaki?
Cool. Wanaki. Yeah. Wanaki.
That's how you say it?
Yeah. Okay. And it's a non-alcoholic beer. So this is a hazy IPA. Cool. Pre-gamed with, one of those other ones. What was that? It's an Italian Pilsner. It was beer, man.
Yeah.
It is super beery.
Well, I already cracked mine. You're cracking yours.
Cheers.
Cheers, buddy. It tastes like an IPA. So I'm doing a diet this month. It's really crazy.
That's pretty darn good.
And we might lose listeners after I say what my diet is, but I literally eat nothing but steak all month long. Like meat. Yeah. I mean, I'll eat other types of meat besides steak, but the diet is pretty much all ribeyes. Like
that gives you this hard protein. Is that the concept?
It's carnivore diet. It's a zero carb diet. And this drink right now, it's got 16 grams of carbohydrates. So I'm cheating tonight.
It's going to bust you up. You're not cheating on the dry. No. Cheating on the carbs.
Cheating on the carbs, but that's okay. I'm actually excited about this beer. This beer tastes good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. It's pretty wild to me, like how, but you think socially, you need alcohol, and then you remove it and you go do something socially, and then it's like, that's not that big. Yeah, like it's
perfectly fine. But you think, like, the first half of your life, you never had it. No. And you had tons of fucking fun as a kid.
Probably way more fun.
Yeah. You know? You remember everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty wild. My wife and I, we really like to drink wine. So, you know, we get in that habit of having a glass or two of wine every night. And for some reason, that just seems to take time. Like, and then you remove that habit and then you have more time.
Yeah.
Oddly. Yeah.
Well, it is weird. Yeah. When we were talking earlier, and I was saying, you know, just like after New Year's, just like that jumped into the work week. And I was just like, I'm going to take the week off. Yeah. I was shocked at how much I got done every day.
It's amazing.
I mean, it's like I had more hours per evening.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
You know, not doing this. And I'm like, you know, we're almost 2 weeks in now. I actually wrote a song today, which is weird. I mean, it's awful. It's terrible. But like, I haven't truly written a song in like 15 years, you know? So, I will not share that with anybody, but I like went through it. But it's kind of cool, like removing that from your life. And like, all of a sudden I've got new like inspiration going on. You know? It's cool. So
there's an Outkast lyric, Andre 3000, where he says, no drugs or alcohol, so I can keep the signal clear. I can't think of what song it is, but he was talking about writing the album, you know, and it's cool.
Yeah. You know, in my life, I've played music since I was a kid, and I can honestly say that almost all of the songs that I've written have always been not drinking, you know.
Yeah. It's where the creativity comes from.
Yeah, totally.
Clean space.
I feel, I don't know, just a lot more productive, a lot more motivated, you know.
Well, kick ass. Good luck, man.
Cheers. Yeah, one cheers. More cheers. Yeah, to one that. More cheers. I like your badonkadonk
koozie's great. Yeah. Yeah. Honky tonk, badonkadonk.
Thank you, Mike Surgeon, for leaving that at my house.
The chili that puts the hump in your rump. That's a nice tagline right there.
That is a great tagline. Yeah. That's great. We've got a lot of lines from the show already with Moist January and that. So, you know, it's been a while since we've gotten together, and I finally feel as if we do have some significant trends happening.
Right. There's been enough time passed that something's different.
Yeah. I mean, you can't argue with the shag and the mullets and the wolf cuts and things like that, you know, but those are kind of like, those are not exactly mainstream trends, you know, what I mean by that is like, you know, the everyday people coming in wanting something like really different. Like, you know, 10 years ago, all of a sudden men wanted fades and that hadn't happened.
Right. That was like the industry 60s. Shift more than a trend.
Yeah. And that was an everybody kind of trend. Like all guys were doing that. You know, the wolf cut, man, there not many people are going to wear that. Like percentage wise, you know, like you're not. Yeah.
The hipsters are going to ask for that.
Exactly.
You know, and the early adopters, people are like, want to be different.
Yeah. So I feel like for women's cuts, I feel like that it's the same thing across the board. There's a lot less effort being put into styling.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You know, people
extremely,
they don't want to use the blow dryer anymore. They don't want to have to spend a lot of time. I don't think people are afraid of product, but I think it's more of a styling thing.
Yeah, I think it's like amount of effort they have to put in for the trade-off of looking good. Mm-hmm. And I think people just don't want to put the effort in, not necessarily because they're lazy, but they're like, hey, you know, these styles are a little more relaxed.
Yeah. So I was watching Andrew Dutt's hair the other day. He did a 15-minute long video, and the video was all about like where the next 10 years of trends are going to go for men. And he was talking about, beer. He was talking about how men don't want to use the blow dryer anymore. They don't want to have to style their hair on Saturday. Totally. They want something easy that's going to look good if they don't really do anything to it, you know, which is, I feel like that's been the vibe actually for a little while, but his point was more that it's like more of a mainstream trend. Like that's where we're headed for 10 years. We're going to have just easier to wear hair.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's hard to argue with.
Yeah.
And dudes are kind of lazy. But I mean, I guess they've learned to be able to step it up, but if you can make it easy, they're into it.
Absolutely.
And I mean, longer, softer looks have been coming for a while, and men's trends are so much slower, you know, to roll over and change. And it's kind of been, like you said, 10 years ago it was with fades. Mm-hmm. And now we're rolling into this. I mean, me, dude, I'm actually almost exactly one calendar year from my last haircut.
That's crazy.
And it's a little bit of a, like, personal social experiment, you know, like being a hairstylist, I've tried different things. Like I remember years ago, I washed my hair every day for like 5 months just to see if my scalp would dry out. And then I'd go like, what happens if I don't wash my hair for 20 days? And the answer is it's disgusting. That's too long.
So where are you at now? Like how often do you wash?
Well, I'm washing my hair probably 2 to 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. And I only condition it about 1 out of every 3 times.
Really?
I put no product in my hair.
Why don't you use conditioner though?
I just feel like I don't need it.
Okay.
You know, my hair is soft.
Yeah.
On its own.
Yeah.
But considering I haven't had a haircut in a year and I'm conditioning it 33% of the time, I feel like it looks better than it should.
Yeah. No, it looks great. It looks super
healthy. But
it's
just like, for me, I'm like, what happens if you don't cut your hair for a year? And people will say things to me, and I hope this isn't like, oh, I'm like, I'm Mr. High and Mighty, but they're like, man, your hair is really pretty. What are you doing? And I'm like, I'm not doing anything.
That's the thing, though.
That's the secret. Yeah, I'm not, no heat, no product. Like, and I'm not unwilling to use product. It's just gotten so long that if I use product, I feel like it weighs it down or I have to wash it more often.
So do you wash your hair in the morning?
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
And then you just let it dry on its own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Just towel dry it, flip it over, comb through it. And then I do put product in my beard.
Okay.
So whatever's left on my hands, I'll scrunch just into the ends or run my hands through my hair once.
What product are you using?
The KMS messing cream.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I found some actually in one of the boxes out there. Nice. so you need a tube.
No, I'm good right now. Thank you though. But yeah, that's all I've been doing and just letting it ride. I have washed it a few times before bed and I'll tell you what, man, having long hair is annoying.
Yeah.
Like I understand why like women just in general, the conversation's like, today's not a hair wash day. You know, and generally speaking, I'm like, what's the big deal? And now that I have long hair, I'm like, shit, like, I don't want to wash my hair before bed. But when I do, I usually will like, like fan it out on the pillow. So it's not like this gross wad of hair behind my neck. And those are the days that I wake up and I feel like Kurt Russell the next day. Like I have this like crazy voluminous or like Mel Gibson hair from like the early 90s.
I really feel like you really have captured that kind of like 80s longer hair look.
Yeah.
Right now, though. Well, it looks great.
Thanks.
I mean, it looks cool. I like the shape of it. I like how it's kind of layered in the front, you know, like you got the kind of the face framing type of thing going on. It's not just all one length hair.
Yeah. You know? Well, remember the ridiculous mullet?
Oh, yeah.
And that was my last haircut.
That's great.
So this is what that's grown into.
So if you're a guy listening and you want cool long hair, cut it into a mullet and then let it go.
Then wait a year.
Then wait a year.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah. You'll have perfect Lebowski hair.
Let me write this down.
Here's the secret, folks. I am patient. If nothing else, I'm extremely patient.
You know, it brings up a topic, though. So how often do you have a guy that has short hair and he said, I want to have long hair? And you're like, well, how long? Well, like real long. And he's like, should I come back next month?
Yeah.
You're like, you know?
No.
And I mean, you know, the thing is it the best thing to do is just let it grow, really. And then like once it gets to a like extremely awkward point, then we can kind of reshape it a little bit. But like doing a haircut every 4 weeks is not really going to help it that much. Well, yeah, maybe like a little neck trim or like sideburn trim, stuff like that.
Yeah, know? But still, I feel like you have to go through it to come out on the other side.
Yeah.
No matter what the situation is, you know, whether it's some personal strife or growing your hair out, it's like you have to endure that purgatory and push through to the other side to actually have it turn into something else.
Yeah.
You know, so I had actually my very last client today, she was cool. I've been cutting her hair every 3 months and she said she wants to grow it out and it's curly, fine hair, a little past her collarbone. No, you know, a good bit past her collarbone. And she's like, so should I wait a little bit longer? And I said, yeah, why don't we go 6 months? And she was like, 6 months? And I was like, yeah. She's like, I can't go that long. And I was like, you can absolutely go that long.
Yeah.
Like, this haircut we just cut has a great shape. It's going to last. It's already a little bit longer. So we compromised on 5.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, honestly, you know, if you've been getting it cut every 3 months and you haven't seen a ton of progress because your hair's curly, you have to at least go double, maybe triple what you've been getting it cut. Just let it ride.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a guy that's, man, his hair is like your length. I mean, it goes into a top ponytail, like the top half of it does, but the bottom half won't get into the ponytail. And he comes in like, you know, every 2 months for a haircut. And I always say like, you can go longer, you know, but yeah, he probably
goes 6 months.
He really wants to keep coming in. I will say like his problem though, is he keeps tying that top half up and it's like his hairline hair is like real fragile. So it just like breaks it.
Right. You
know? So it won't grow any longer.
Is his hair finer? So he has to put it up tight too.
Yeah.
Because exactly. I don't even try to put mine up because I have to put it up so tight that one, it's uncomfortable. And two, it feels like it's not good for my hair.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, you're better off with a hat on, you know? Yeah.
Well,
so
there I
go.
Am.
There with you a go. Hat on. There you go. So yeah, for men's cuts, I do feel like Andrew does hair is right with that. I feel like we do have a lot of men that just don't want to put that effort into styling anymore, which is, you know what? It's kind of a little bit alarming because like 5 years, 10 years ago, men's style or men's barbershops and high end men's haircuts and all this kind of stuff was the fastest growing segment of the high end hair industry, you know?
Oh, for sure. So it exploded.
What does that do now? I mean, I guess it still does. You know, I mean, honestly, I've been doing a lot of like straight razor cuts on men lately.
Well, I mean, I would think that those, as trends shift, you know, the barbershop's still going to maintain the same clientele. You know, the clients may go longer between cuts, but then, you know, in theory, all they need are more clients.
Yeah.
You know, but if if that's where trends are going and you're a barbershop that's been doing a sick fade on a guy for 10 years and they're like, I want to let it grow. I'm guessing they're going to trust that barber to say, let's go this direction. And then the whole industry just shifts into it.
Yeah.
That's something that I think is so weird about what we do is I mean, and maybe it's because I'm not paying as much attention to other industries, but I feel like our industry just kind of flows like a river. Like it just is every bend. It's like it changes, but it's still always a river with banks on the side. It's always the same, but it's always different.
I mean, it's a good analogy because the hair doesn't stop growing, you know? So, and I mean, regardless of how much time men are going to put into styling their hair, you know, they still got to get it cut. Now they're, a lot of these guys are used to coming to a higher end environment. They're getting, you know, a really nice shampoo experience, all these things. Right. So, you know, I don't think they're wanting to give that up.
Well, yeah. I mean, even I had a guy today that just, you know, gets like classic men's cut. Very cool dude. And we, you know, he sat down, we just started talking about football right away. He's a big NFL guy, Miami Dolphins guy, and they're in the playoffs. And I just started talking about football. And after just a couple minutes of bullet points, I did that thing where I was like, all right, hold on. We need to talk about hair because next thing you know, your appointment will be over. And, you know, like we could talk about this all day. And he was like, I don't care if I get a haircut or if we just talk about it. It's just leaving work, coming here and spending the time is what I'm looking for. You know, he was like half joking, but at the same time, I know he's half serious, you know,
absolutely.
So people do get used to that. The experience, the shampoo and somebody saying hi to them when they walk in, and it's an extension of their community. It is part of their community.
Yeah.
You know, to come in there.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. So, you know, on the other side of the token or other side of the coin here, there's, you know, where women's styling is going from the mainstream aspect of it. So I've seen a couple of trends that I think are pretty cool. And one of them is the choppy bob. Like these bobs that are really chopped up at the bottom and they're almost like collapsed. And then some pieces are like kicking out.
Yeah.
And I really like it. It's very kind of disheveled look.
I love them.
Yeah, I really do. I really like it. It doesn't have the same kind of thickness as like the lobs had, I feel like. I don't know. And then maybe shorter too, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm liking a lot of these shorter women's trends. I think with women's longer hair, we're starting to see a lot more volume.
Yeah. Well, we're seeing a lot more layering too, which obviously is going to equate into more volume. But I guess before we jump into that, like I've been calling it the broken bob.
Yeah.
So that's why I feel like it's like a heavily textured bob with a kind of shattered perimeter, you know, with pieces that have their own little attitude and energy that flipped this way and that. And I had a client yesterday who had been rocking more of like a shag. And she's like, I like these front pieces. The front pieces had grown in where they're almost a bob, like right at her jawline.
Yeah.
She said, can we just cut this into a bob? And I held up the back of her hair and her hairline was, you know, maybe an inch longer than the front pieces. So I was like, without doing an undercut, you know, I don't think we can get strength in the perimeter, but we could put it like a, you know, really broken perimeter in here. And I kind of had to sell it to her, so to speak, talk her into it. She was kind of unsure. She's had like really precise, like French bobs and things like that in the past. And after we did it, she was pumped. She was like, I want to keep this haircut for like several haircuts.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah. So there's, you know, the show Yellowstone's really popular right now. Have you watched that show?
Nope.
Don't get into it. I mean, literally, the thing about that show, we could go on a long tangent about this, but
you lost me at Kevin Costner.
Dude's awful. So the show is just unbelievably bad acting and it's such a soap opera, but it's like you get hooked. It's just entertaining and you can't stop watching. So I'm completely caught up. I've watched every episode, but anyway, there is this one girl that's on the show and she's just, I mean, beautiful. She plays American Indian on the show. I'm not sure if she is in real life. I don't know what her ethnicity is, but she goes through this thing and she, you know, has a mental breakdown and she chops her long hair off into this bob. Her name's Kelsey Asbell in real life, but she is, I mean, phenomenal. She's so beautiful. And this bob is just awesome.
Right.
And it is just like the bottom of it is just really weak and it kind of just like, it has like kicks. I mean, it's definitely razor cut. it definitely has that look to it, you know. But it's just awesome. And so I'm on this kick right now where I just want to shatter all the bobs, like really, really shatter them at the bottom. Just
break them up. I mean, it's a way to change. I mean, I've said this a million times that a bob's the only haircut that's been in fashion for 100 years. And it's because there are so many different versions, because the person that has the clean one, you just break it up.
Yeah.
Say, hey, have you been watching Yellowstone? They're like, oh my God, yeah, please, let's do it. You know? And then you do it. As soon as you said that, though, it made me think of years ago, there was a meme floating around. I want to say it was Katniss Everdeen. Meme where it was like in every single, like, you know, movie or TV show, when the main person has a mental breakdown and they like grab a pair of scissors or a razor blade, and then they come out looking like this, and they have like the chicest, most badass haircut. Did this one actually look like she cut it herself because the perimeter was broken a little bit?
I would say that, yeah. Okay. It definitely gives off that vibe.
Okay.
It does. But I mean, it's, I guess it would be believable to the average watcher of the television. Right. But like gotcha. Me, like me and you, we look at that. We were like, no, that was professional.
Right. That was highly stylized.
Yeah. So, but it's great. It's a great haircut. You know, I mean, I went to the grocery store today. There was a girl that works at the flower counter at the Ingles grocery store, and her haircut was so on point. And I was like, man, you know, and she's just this young person working at, you know, the grocery store, you know,
the haircut, somebody nailed it.
I mean, absolutely destroyed it. It was a bob, but it was a precise bob. It was like kind of like above the hairline bob in the back where it's kind of shaved down a little bit.
Yeah.
Man, it was awesome. Yeah, it really was.
I feel like that bob is a cut that when it's nailed, you can see it from a mile away.
Absolutely.
Like it's the head turner.
Yeah. And every hairstylist looks at that and has respect for it because you know hard that is. You know?
And then all the clients go like, oh, I don't want a bob. So boring. Don't make me look like a soccer mom, which we've gone down that rabbit hole before. But it's like,
man, they're amazing.
It can be it.
They are amazing. So, you know, I really, really want to ask you what happened with your mom's hair.
Yeah. So the thing about this, I haven't even talked to my mom yet. It's been all
does text. She listen to this?
Yeah, so she's gonna find out about this. Okay. So I'm gonna have to make don't post too soon. I have to call her first.
Oh, don't worry, it might be a few days.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess this is one of those things where, you know, anybody that does hair knows that like family hair can be a challenging thing. And my mom has gotten to the point where she's like so polite about asking. She's in that phase where it's like, you know, everyone's so busy, I don't want to ask. That being said, I probably should have stepped up before now and been like, you need your color done. I've cut her hair, but, you know, I've like visited her on the weekends, or she'll come up and we're hanging out with Oliver and, you know, doing all the things. And so anyway, I haven't colored her hair in a while. So she sends me a text message the other day.
Okay.
And she said that her friend, who I will not shame and name, was going to throw a couple of subtle highlights in around her face.
Okay.
All right. So my mom is 74. She barely has any gray hair. Mm-hmm. She has fine hair, a good amount of it. And her hair is so hard to lift. Like when I lighten my mom's hair, like when I highlight it, it's 40 volume. I mix it extremely thick where it's like heavy duty powder.
And your mom's hair is like a level 7, right? Like
yeah, six. I'd call seven. A six, okay. Like a fine level six, like it should lift.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. So she sends me this picture. All right. Uh-oh. Blank. Won't say her name. I was going to put some subtle highlights around my face. I have all over orange hair. I guess I have to go to work this way. Any suggestions? So this is the horrible picture she sends me, which, I mean, the lighting is one thing. The
lighting is definitely making that look worse.
Right. So there's only one suggestion when you're on your way to work.
Yeah.
Wear a hat. Yeah. Okay. That's the only thing you can do, which I get this follow-up picture.
That's super cute.
Looks great in a hat.
Like the toboggan.
So, so then we get into this conversation. She's like, all right. So, and I mean, I'm like, you did not get some highlights. Your hair has been all over colored. Mm-hmm. So she said, yeah. She's like, I thought she was putting some highlights in. Anyway, next thing you know, the back of her hair is, she's like, I feel color everywhere. And they even toned it. And it is like level 9 orange. I mean, it's bad.
Yeah.
So I have a consultation with my mom over the phone. Now we have talked at this point, you know, it's like, okay, what happened? You know, she tells me, she's like, what do I do now? She said, I made an appointment for Thursday with like a friend of a friend to get in. And I know I can't, she's like, I was running through the thing. Like, can I drive up to Asheville? Would you have time to fix my hair? I don't want to be annoying and ask you, but I feel like you'll fix it right.
Yeah.
You know, but she's like, I found somebody that had time. So I just, what's your idea? What do you think I should do? Like, what should I talk to the stylist about? She's like, do I go back to my natural color? You know, do they just tone it? And I was like, there's no toning that, you know? So you either have to go up or down. I said, you know, now that you've been lifted that much all over, I said, to me, it's not going to be hard to lift your hair all the way to a platinum blonde. You know, maybe like 20 volume, just all over lightener and have them tone it as cool as they can get it. And then your roots will grow in and roots look cool. You know, it's like, that's like a 6 to 9 month thing for her where we could tone it and make it work. So she's like, that sounds great. I wouldn't mind being blonde. I was like, once you get into depositing color, filling, they might even be able to make it look good, but it's just going to be a thing that's going to be high maintenance. In 6 weeks, the color's going to shift. It's not going to be what you want. So I said, send me pictures in better light. This is after the first, that's before the appointment. This is after her friend did her hair.
That's after her friend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's not as orange as it looked in the other picture.
Yeah.
Okay.
So once I saw that, I'm
so
like,
so this is like a yellowy level 8.
Yeah.
9.
Yeah. It's maybe a level a 9.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, just pop it up.
Yeah.
Pop it up, tone it. No problem.
I'd agree with that.
Easy fix. Right. So here's the text I got. Should I read it out loud or I'll just read it out loud?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Well, I just got my hair done and spent almost $300 and I'm not happy with it. I asked her to lift it up, but she decided to do a base color, which is kind of an auburn. And then she put foils in it, which brought me back to what I consider brassy. I asked for more of a shaggy cut and I have a bowl cut. Anyway, maybe it's better than what I had, but I still think it's brassy. So anyway, lesson learned, love you, bye. And then she sends me this picture. So that's what she ended up with.
Okay, let me see, hold on.
which I love, you mom, it's not the best look though.
It's not
a train wreck.
No, it's not a train wreck, thank God.
Yeah, I think it's better than it was. Yeah, but
yeah, the look on her face says it all.
Yeah, it really does. She is not happy. I mean, it's kind of almost like a peachy strawberry blonde. It's kind of a fun, trendy color.
Yeah, it's really not bad. If we could break up the sides of the haircut a little bit more, you know.
Let's also talk about just for a second that my mom's taking a selfie in the mirror with the camera backwards so she can look at the screen in the mirror.
That's hilarious.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've been, and this all happened right when I got here, when we were starting recording. So I haven't had a chance to talk to her.
Oh, okay.
That happened today.
Gotcha.
But I guess my question, like, I really want to know how that consultation went. You know, I want to get into the stylist brain. Like, if somebody comes in and they're super brassy and they say, just pop me up and make me blonde, to base color and then foil their hair when their hair's short. Like trying to think of the logic behind that.
I don't know what the logic is there. I really don't.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
You know, I do think though that like you and I have done a lot of color correction work, you know, and
for sure.
You have to really make a bunch of color correction mistakes before you actually figure out like really what you need to do.
The proper fix.
Yeah.
And the easiest avenue for that fix.
Yeah. And what's going to be best going forward too. You know, I mean, it's what's going to be the easiest way to maintain that. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's still an opportunity to get it blonder.
I think that's the right thing. So I'm just like, if somebody's hair has been decolorized to that point, like just putting an all over, putting a base color on, like, what are you doing, bud?
Yeah. The whole base color route was very odd to me.
Yeah.
You know, this kind of brings up a topic that's a little bit technical, but you know, in the world of hair, the only way to get hair that's been colored previously lighter is to use bleach, you know, so that you know, like if you have somebody that has any form of color on their hair at all whatsoever, it doesn't matter if it's demi or permanent, anything, you got to use bleach to lighten it. And I think over like the course of my career, I've known a bunch of different people that will use base colors, basically in foils to lighten hair.
Yeah.
And it drives me crazy. Like,
yeah.
I mean, don't like it at all. Like
I've seen people do it enough where you can get a shift. Like, you know,
but it just, it's a gamble.
It's a, I mean, to me, like, there are certain rules that you follow. And one of the rules that you follow is color won't lift color.
Yeah.
And of course, that's not always true, but it's mostly true.
But I will say, even on virgin state hair, if you're going to do a highlight, like, why use like a high lift gold well series with double 40 in it? That's just as, like, potentially just as damaging as bleach. But it's also way riskier because you don't really know what the outcome is going to be like.
I mean, if somebody's hair is virgin and they're and you're at a right the right starting level, you know, between a 6 and an 8, I think it is predictable. But I saw a thing recently that was a breakdown of like really what damages the hair. Is it peroxide or ammonia?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw that. I don't remember who posted it. It was a multi-slide. Yeah. Might have been harebrained.
Colors with Chemistry. It was probably reposted, but I think it was Colors.
But it was a really interesting little read where they're saying, you know, they're pretty much both guilty. But one of the things that they did in there is they had the breakdown of the highest levels of ammonia and what has the highest levels. Yeah. And high lift is by far, by far the highest level of ammonia of anything. So, I mean, I think that the reason you would use a high lift is because you can predictably lift and deposit and in one shot, and it probably won't fade as much as if you overlift and then have to deposit back. That would be the time I would say, like, there's a good reason to use it. Or if somebody's a level 8 and they want to be a level 10 all over, or if somebody's level 5 and they want to be a clean 7.
Well, when we're talking about all over color, I get that.
Yeah.
I do get the all over color. It's just like when people are doing highlights with color in a foil, that's just weird to me. I feel like it is just a risk that I never want to take. I would much rather just put bleach on it and then tone it.
Yeah.
I mean, so much easier.
I think if you formulate properly, there's a predictability that's there, but clearly so many people don't formulate properly.
But you know, I will say this though, that like when you have a new client, like your mother or my wife, who both have hair that theoretically lifts very easily, but doesn't actually do it in reality.
Yeah.
You have, like my wife has level 7, you know, my wife, look at her hair.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like really, really blonde. Cause I make her that way.
Yeah.
But her natural is a level 7 and it is extremely hard to get the yellow out of that hair. It's crazy hard.
Yeah. She's one of the few clients that you foil, right? Or do you balayage her now?
I mean, I foil it quite a bit more. No, I don't like balayage. Her hair's too fine. I guess you do
more foils now, but I remember once upon a time it was like when you were doing a ton of balayage, you were like, she still gets foils.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So she, if I put 20 volume on her hair, which I did 30 last time actually, but if I do 20 and I don't use heat, and I'm only saying this because this is how we had to do it during the lockdown because we didn't have a heater. She would literally leave the foils on for an hour and 20 minutes with 20 volume and then it would be fine. So that was the time though. It was like set a timer. She would just go sit and watch TV or whatever. But now we have to heat it for a solid half an hour.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. 20 volume will always get there as long as it stays moist. Our word of the night. As long as that lightener stays moist, for real. It's 20 volume will lift as much as 40.
There's absolutely.
10 volume will lift as much as 40. It just takes a lot longer.
Yeah.
You know, a lot longer. But I mean, I guess, you know, I'm circling back to this whole thing about my mom. And one of the things that I think that we forget as stylists is that our clients do know their hair. It's hard to believe them sometimes, you know, when they come in. But I mean, you know, it's just my thought process is this person's never done my mom's hair. And she comes in with the information and says, my hair doesn't lift nearly as easily as you would think. My son's a hairstylist, which is probably the most annoying thing you could ever tell a hairstylist.
For sure.
You know, that part is like, oh, okay, lady, you know?
Absolutely.
But if somebody comes in and says, you know, like, my hair doesn't lift, I talk to him, here's what he normally does and suggested, but you do whatever you want. It's just like, we have to believe our clients, you know, we have to believe them. Or if they say they have existing color on their hair, we need to formulate for that.
Yeah.
You know, we have to believe, we have to go like, oh, it's faded a lot. I can lift through that. I'm special. It's like, no, you have to really ask them questions, figure out what's going on and formulate for it.
Yeah. I feel like you and I are kind of at this point in our careers now where like we do have the luxury of strand testing people if we want to, if there's a new client and we're like, I want to strand test that, you know, like, you know, when we were younger and you know, we'd get five or six new clients every week. Like, we didn't have that kind of time to really strand test. And that's the tough thing is when color companies tell you, you have to strand test, you have to. But the reality in the industry is like very few people are strand testing every day, you know?
But the only way to guarantee results would be to do that. Yeah. But, you know, when you're not busy too and you have a new client, you're like, I'm not turning away this $300 service.
Yeah.
I need to do this today.
So, so there was a client that came into one of the assistants yesterday, and you probably know the story. I don't know if you know it better than me or not.
Well, I mean, I was there for it.
Okay. So this lady had level six hair, maybe five, six hair, and she wanted to be very blonde.
Yeah,
and
very blonde.
The assistant, you know, is doing hair. So our assistants, they have 1 or 2 days on the floor, depending on how long they've been there. And they provide services at a very discounted price. I mean, we're talking like $55 to $75 full head highlight.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like $25 and $35 haircuts. And they do it under the guidance of a master stylist. Excuse me. But the funny thing about this program, and we all know this, is that like the cheaper your services are, the harder the services are going to be a lot of times, because the clientele is maybe not clientele that's used to getting their hair done in a high end fashion, or like maybe they're not like consistently going to a good salon and paying good money to have good product put on their head. So anyway, what happened was, the assistant highlighted the hair and got multiple different colors within each of those strands of highlights.
Yeah, I would say it was like a really nice clean lift at the new growth and a clean lift. She had some, the ends were already lighter. The ends lifted really well, but then there was that band.
Okay,
you know, so there's like a band level in the middle. You know, 7, maybe 8.
Yeah.
Like really warm band that was just not going anywhere.
Yeah. You know? So from what I understand, the client told the assistant that she's always had professional color on her head.
That was the original conversation.
That was the original conversation. Yes. But then later on told her that she covers her gray at home.
Right.
So
with box color.
She didn't say box color. I think.
But if you're coloring at home.
We all know that.
Yeah.
So anyway, the hair never lies. And, you know, so the assistant and I, she's awesome.
She's great.
Yeah. We talked about it today, you know, and, you know, the lady's coming back, and the lady, I guess, was happy, but she didn't get past a 7. I mean, they had to tone her back down to a 7, I think.
Yeah. I mean, the new growth and the ends lifted great, nice and clean and bright, but that band was, you know, between a 7 and 8. So yeah, after consulting with another master stylist, the thought process and what was done is we're going to bring her back down to where that band is with control,
good.
You know, so that you get a nice even color instead of like, oh, let's keep these pieces brighter. I was like, nope, just bring it all down. Cause the only other option is to work on lifting through that band. She had another client that was already waiting on her. There just wasn't time for that.
You know? This, but I told, you know, the assistant today, I said, you know, this is like as hard as that is to deal with. This is like the greatest way to learn.
It's the best thing that could happen.
You're stressed. You're having to make decisions in a very stressed way. You're having to be professional when it's hard to be professional.
You
want to run to the color bar, but you need to walk like nothing's bothering you. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, so this is, I mean, it's nature's way of just kind of busting your chops and making you ready to be on the floor for real, you know? So the hardest clients we ever get are the ones at the beginning. I mean, it's just the way it is.
You know? They're going to be the most challenging clients, not because they're jerks or anything like that, but it is, they're not consistently doing, you know, it's like probably somebody that takes their car to 15 different mechanics and then takes it to a dealership, and the dealership's like, what is this shit?
Yeah.
You know, these aren't factory brakes and plug lines. You know, it's like somebody Frankenstein this thing together. And now you want me to make it run like a Mercedes?
Yeah.
I can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, what was the line I said earlier? It's like the only way to get there is to go through it. That's where I feel like that learning process is right now. It's like, you got to go through that. You have to persevere through that. And then all the while, when you're running behind, her next client was there and could see her.
Yeah.
So the next client sitting there watching, going, that's the girl that's doing my hair. And you're like, shit.
Yeah.
I'm running behind. I'm stressed out. I hope this looks okay. My next client's here. It's like, that's fucking heavy.
Yeah. Well, shout out to everybody that helped her out too at the salon. That's always good. You know, when you're in it like that and you got somebody that just says, you know what? I'm going to help you out.
Yeah, for sure.
And it comes over and they did, like, I'll never forget, you know, the worst day of my life in a salon who helped me out. It was a lady named Suzanne, and she, like, I'm forever in debt to her. She totally, like, took me by the reins that day and helped me out and got me out of that situation.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, Marla gets a shout out on that one.
Yeah. Thank you, Marla, for helping out. So, you know, what's crazy is I actually did a new client this week. I haven't done a new color client in a long time.
Cool. Welcome to 2023.
I know.
New year, new client.
Well, one of the other stylists, his wife has COVID, so he couldn't come in. And, so I had to take this client, and I looked at, so we use a program called SnapSnip, which allows clients to send in pictures of their hair and their inspiration. It's freaking amazing. It's really kind of revolutionized, like, the way we book clients, because it's so much better. Like, we know exactly what we're getting. I
mean, you get a full ass heads up.
Yeah, exactly. And they're also getting a quote and all that kind of stuff. So it's really great. So anyway, I looked at the SnapSnip, and she had hair basically to her waist, and it was like a level 5-6, and, you know, she wanted, you know, this beautiful balayage that was, like, you know, blonde on the ends and blah blah blah. Course. And I was like, oh man, okay, all right, fine, I'll take it. So anyway, she came in, she couldn't have been cooler. I mean, could not have been cooler. She had a baby 7 months ago, hasn't had her hair professionally done since before she ever got pregnant, so it had been, she said, 2 years since the last time anybody, and she was just cool. She was, like, super cool. She was like, I was like, so you want a balayage? She was like, yep. I was like, well, you know, I started asking her details about it. She was like, whatever you want, whatever you want. It's cool. Whatever. And I could tell she was kind of like one of those types of people that really wanted me to just do my thing.
Was actually okay with
it. And she was legit okay with that. And so, I mean, it was awesome. It really was. It was kind of the most fun I've had doing color in quite some time, really.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I just don't know. I don't break out of the box a lot right now, you know,
because it can be hard when you have the same clients, even if they want something different. It's like, we have to remember not to have preconceived notions and box them into something too.
Exactly. So anyway, I had a great time. It was really fun. She was super cool. So I actually took pictures of that.
Nice.
It's crazy, right? So it was good to do some color, because I feel like...
What'd you do?
Well, I did balayage.
Okay.
So I used what is it? What is the balayage lightener we've got? Is it Schwarzkopf?
The newer one?
No, the older one. We bought another tub of it. But anyway, I used that. I used 40 volume. I'm, you know, balayage with 40 volume, or, you know, only type of guy. It's really, really, really rare that I'm going to use 30 and I will never balayage under 30 ever. So, I did that, and then I toned it with like 7M and 9M in shades with just a hint of 8GI just to give it a little bit more shine. And it was perfect. I mean, it was really perfect. It was
Were you awesome. Battling some warmth? Is that why you went M?
Yeah, I had some warmth, but she was interesting, because she had blue eyes and she had like a cool tone to her skin, but she did have somewhat of like a warm brown natural hair color.
Okay.
And I asked to see her wrists, and she was like, huh? And I was like, I just need to see your wrists. And so she had very green and pronounced purple veins in her wrists, which I was told by a Wella educator more than a decade ago that if they have both colors, they could wear either one.
Okay. And interesting.
Yeah. So, but generally, if they can wear either color, a neutral is going to be your best bet. So try to get something neutral.
Shoot between.
Yeah. So, you know, and we even looked at swatches, and she was like, you know, I'm going to leave it up to you.
Yeah.
And so I really like the M's, you know, I like that kind of more like, it's almost like a mushroomy brown. So,
yeah. Which is not what M stands for the record.
Well,
mushroom brown.
Yeah, no. I don't know what 9 is, but 7M is driftwood. I know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always assume the M is like a matte, a little bit more of a green undertone. Because, you know, that's my beef with shades, is they don't have a comprehensive wheel.
No.
You know, which I, that's just how my brain works. But I love that you looked at her wrist because that's kind of an undervalued thing. I've never heard the purple and green vein thing, but I was taught many, many moons ago that when you're holding up swatches, hold it to somebody's wrist. If you hand a client a swatch and they always hold it up to their forehead like it's fake bangs.
Yeah.
You know, which is ridiculous because you can't really tell what it's going to look like just because it's such a little piece of hair. But if you hold it against the inside of the wrist, you get it like a true... like a true take on what their skin tone is.
Oh, absolutely.
Cause they're not going to be, you know, overly tan there, that, that skin hasn't been manipulated. So it's like, you can really see what they're going to, what that color is going to look like on them. Yeah. Like, I haven't done that in a while. I'm going to start doing that again.
Yeah, you should. I think clients really enjoy that too. They like that. They like, you know, I don't know, doing anything that, that they don't normally get. At another salon, you know, so.
Right. To see that you're tailoring something for them.
Yeah.
That's important.
I felt super inspired by that. It, it was a lot of fun. She was cool. Of course, she left with, I mean, just a bag full of Orbe products, which is awesome, you know. Right. So, and I was like, well, I'll see you in a year.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So, but she's awesome. So anyway, it, it was cool to do a new client and it was cool to do color, you know, because I mean, I think we were talking about it earlier that we've just been doing a lot of hair cutting lately.
Mm-hmm.
It has, which doesn't bother me that much at all because I love cutting hair. I really do. If I could just have my assistant do all of my colors, every single one of them while I just cut hair, I'd be happier.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, if I didn't have to finish hair, that's the other thing that would make me happy. Because that's the only thing is like, you know, when you're just cranking out cuts all day, sometimes the numbers can be a little disappointing. At the end of the day, at the end of the week, you know, but I still prefer, I feel like I'm being creative and doing something. I feel like I'm doing something. It feels more important to me than color. Like, I feel like once the formula is set, you know, anybody could put it on.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, when I'm cutting, I'm like, I feel like I'm the only one that can do this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the most vital thing. I think as a master stylist, like our highlights and our haircuts are, you know, and even the highlights, I mean, I literally could have the assistant to do every single bit except for like the first few foils
on the nuance of placement.
Yeah, exactly. You know. So, but you know, it has definitely been nice to do a little bit of out of the box color for me, like, you know, but yeah, I mean, I think, this year, it just might be a little bit more haircut heavy. I mean, I think with the trends, you know, I mean, a lot more natural hair, you know? Yeah.
Natural is, it's going to be easier to stand out if looks are more natural by doing something different with your haircut.
Definitely. You know, I obviously the pandemic, I think, was what really shifted people to growing their hair out. But I find that like a lot of younger people that have never colored their hair before are saying, I just want to let the gray keep going and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, they're not afraid
they're
of
curious.
It. They're not afraid of it like they used to be.
Yeah. You know? It used to be this death sentence, that means you're old. Mm-hmm. And I mean, a part of it could be the market as well. You know, I think here in Asheville, there's probably a little bit more of a, it's probably, well, maybe not, but I feel like it might be a little more accepted. But yeah, I mean, to have gray hair when you're younger now is like kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Whereas before it was not.
No, it wasn't cool. It is weird how like deathly afraid people were of gray hair. And now we're watching people growing it out and like styling it really cool. And we're going, holy cow, it's gorgeous. Like it's amazing. Obviously, we're not going to make a lot of money off of, you know, the natural look now. But I thoroughly love gray natural hair. I really do. I love it. I think so cool. I mean, because I mean, honestly, we can't do that. Like, we can get pretty close, but we can't do that.
No.
You know, God does that.
And if you have it, rock it.
Yeah. Well, man, this has been an awesome podcast. We made it almost an hour. Oops.
Look at that. I think that's our first spill.
That is our first spill on the show. And
it's on the non-alcoholic one.
Yep, exactly.
That is hilarious.
We got the table moist. So.
Yeah. We got the table soaked.
Anyway, that's on video, too.
Perfect.
All right, man. Cheers.
All right.
It's been a lot of fun.
Cheers.
We'll see everybody soon.
Happy New Year.
Cool. Later.